League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome back to Funtown, everybody. I'm Todd McComas. I am joined, as always, by my friends and comedians, Jeff Oske, Austin Real, and joining us for this episode, friend and comedian, Isaac Lanford from Indianapolis.
Yo.
Everybody needs to know that because of what's going on in the world, we're no longer meeting in person in a building or a studio to record. For right now, we're doing it through a streaming service, but the good part is now we have video, and we will release the video on various social media coming up. Now, also another change that we have is that we will be more than once a week. So usually you just hear us on Thursday. Now you will hear us on Wednesday and Friday of every week. We changed it up.
That's dope. That's two
episodes a week. You know why?
Completely different days.
Yeah, because we're all shut in. Why not? We have more time on our hands now. So more episodes. That's good for you. And it's good for us. Isaac, thanks for joining us, brother. You're at Lanford HQ there at your place?
Yeah, I'm in my / dog kennel.
I think we have a little bit of lag, actually.
Yeah. I had a little load thing that just happened a second ago.
That's what happens. It's all those notifications going on in the background from your normal everyday web browsing experience. Dude, so the world's different now. This is how podcasting is being done. It's catching on everywhere. The good thing is today I was still able to go grocery shopping. If it ever stops, then the guns are going to be more important than food.
As soon as the food stops, murder town.
It's murder town.
Fun town will become murder town. This will be a podcast about who you killed and what you found that day. That'll be what we'll be doing.
And, you know, grocery shopping was not that different. I will say that. Other than, I tell you, it's like the perfect time to be into organic and diet food because that's all that was on the shelf.
Oh, yeah.
Like gluten-free.
Yeah, that goes to tell you right now, like, where the world stands on gluten-free diet and organic foods because nobody's eating that. And Cheetos were on the shelf, which I couldn't believe.
That's incredible because I've actually been looking for those.
Cheetos are delicious. The regular brand Cheetos and the hot Cheetos, aplenty. They're well in stock at the Kroger, near my house anyway, which I
can't find that surprising.
Right? I think it's because there's a weed shortage right now. It's harder to get weed. Right now, self quarantine.
Have we hit that point yet? That's horrifying.
I don't know. You guys would know better than me.
I have no idea.
Medical curve diagram is about. By the way, this is when we think most of the weed's going to dry up. So you're going to.
Well, they said today in LA that it is considered essential that the pot shops stay open, and they're considered essential businesses, and they will stay open.
They know what that's doing for the community.
Well, I will say this: liquor still essential because the liquor stores are still open. So that's good.
Not in every state.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Pennsylvania has shut their liquor stores.
Not in Indiana.
Nope, you need
that's when people riot.
Take the edge off. Yeah, exactly. All those things that rock baby society to sleep every night. Those are the things that you need.
Liquor stores and gun stores will be the last to close in the state of Indiana. I'm quite certain of it.
Gun sales have to be like through the roof right now.
Oh, I think they've gone way up. Bullets at least.
Yeah, the back the background checks, they stopped taking new ones for like 7 hours because the system was backed up. You couldn't buy a gun for like 7 hours.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Think how scary that would be if you're there to get that gun.
Yeah.
And they start telling you they're not selling any more guns. How soft would you feel? You'd feel so vulnerable if you couldn't get your gun that you came for.
How many accusations of like, they've done it. They've taken away our right to buy a gun. Yeah, oh, wait. That's it. 3 months has gone by. I've got it. Okay, cool.
That's it.
The militia guys would go ape shit.
Oh, they would for sure.
They're like, finally, we got ourselves a war. Yeah.
We're gonna go.
Dude, I went to the Rule King the other day to buy a shotgun, and not only did they have no shotguns, they had no ammunition anywhere in the store. It was completely sold out.
Now that's Rule King. I don't know if they get hit first or they should be the last to run out.
Well, this was actually in a smaller town, and so I thought I would have a better chance there because I figured not as many people would be hitting it, and that most people would already have a gun, you know,
Oh, yeah. Like,
oh, this is small town Indiana. Of course, I've already got 9 of them. I ain't got to go get it. So I thought that would be the case, but no, they went and looted that place. I mean, not illegally.
I know. I get it. That's the Indiana frame of mind, though, is that you can't have enough guns. When in reality, I think if you were locked into battle, it wouldn't be a situation where you just have a table full of guns and you shoot until one's out and then you replace the other. Or you have a feeder spotter behind you feeding you new guns. Like, you just reload, right? So, instead of getting more ammunition, like, we need more guns.
I don't have a gun, but I got this posture strap that I'm just wearing underneath my coat when I go out.
I see that. So you just leave your jacket on the grip so they can see the strap.
I love it.
Yep.
Some strung out alcoholic detective or something that's going to shoot somebody first chance he gets.
I have been using this as an excuse to, I've been thinking about carrying my brass knuckles again.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Can I ask why you stopped?
They're illegal. I just didn't want to deal with it. Go through a metal detector and have to lay my brass knuckles down on the counter.
You know what I love about like checking into a sporting event, you know, at the arena or field house is the security measures in place are so lame. Like, they're not designed to really stop anybody who's serious about getting in with something they don't have. Give you the little bowl and expect you to empty everything you have that should be viewed into the little bowl. And I've always, like, many times when they pass the bowl to me, want to already have in my jacket like one of those little boxes of cereal and pour that in there, and then little school carton of milk. Pop it open, pour that in there, and then eat a bowl of cereal.
I think that's how you get
exactly
corona.
What they were looking for. Yeah.
Austin and I went to see a comedian in Fort Wayne, and they had security at this venue. And we walked up, and they asked to search a woman with her purse. And as they're searching her purse, I pulled my pocket knife out. And I was holding it up like, who do I need to check this with? And then the guy didn't notice for a few seconds. So I just put it back in my pocket. And then he never looked at me. And we just walked in.
It's so easy, dude. 1 year, and I'm not trying to give people ideas. Hopefully no homicidal maniacs or mass murderers listen to this podcast. But 1 year, I was at the Indianapolis 500. And Pat McAfee and I got into a golf cart at about 3 a.m, drove straight in, nobody at the entrance or whatever, and drove all around the, like, that racetrack that they have inside, like the figure eight one or whatever, and drove all the way around it for like 2 hours. We could have planted explosive devices at every turn and just left, and nobody would have known until the next day. Like, it's so vulnerable. I'm like, what are we doing? Yeah. This is like the greatest spectacle in racing. It's so insecure.
It's all an illusion.
Mm-hmm. How are little kids? You guys have little kids. Like, how are little kids handling the world as it is right now? They adapt so easily. They're probably like, eh.
Isaac's actually living more of that reality. That, like, I have a 1-year-old, so he doesn't really have a concept of time or the fact that he should be allowed to go anywhere else besides the living room. So I think Isaac actually has little ones with opinions and stuff.
Yeah, my kids are 9 and 6, and the 6-year-old trying to explain to her that, like, last week wasn't spring break, but we were home, but now for 2 weeks it is spring break. And then she doesn't have to do any schoolwork. And then it won't be spring break again at some point, but she'll still be at home. That's difficult. And just like, I mean, they're fine, though. They're loud. And I can only watch my 9-year-old's TikTok dances so many times.
Oh, wait, Jeff, you're doing a TikTok, though, right? Are you watching Jeff?
Jeff is crushing on TikTok.
Dude, it's crushing. You knew how long we practiced that. To turn out that badly. I finally was just like, dude, we're posting the next one. I don't care how it turns out. We're posting it. I can't do this fucking dance one more time. I'm doing it. But hey, man.
You were a bit off, but I felt like you were carrying it pretty well.
Dude, the worst part was I had better ones, but she erased those to try to get a better one. And I didn't get better. I just got progressively worse. I probably did that dance 85 times to have it turn out that badly. Like, that's what. I could take one and called it a day.
I give you all the props in the world because, like, I could never have done that with my kid at their age because the only way I'll dance is if I get drunk. And I would have to get drunk in front of my kid. And then get up and do it like I'm at a club or something. You'd be like, why are you grinding? Like,
oh, if I was drunk, it would have been so much better had I been drunk.
I can't. These dance, they're all very elbow based. All these dances that they're doing there. Right?
They are, right? There's a lot of pop and lock. Yeah. I don't know.
It's all kinds of stuff.
I tried to tell her I was more of a freestyle dancer. And less of a line dancer. And
right.
She's like, well, that's not what they do. Yeah. Hey, we wasted an hour and a half. She had fun. Whatever.
Good for you. Good for you.
How much anime are you watching?
Luckily that's at an all-time low. So that's good. He's been watching that on his phone in his room with the door shut. I don't want to know what's happening. But hey, he's in there for 4 or 5 hours.
Todd, you're a detective.
The ages of my son was in his prime of door shut and not knowing what's going on the other side. I remember one time I just walked in. You know, it takes you a while to get into the hang of. I need to knock on this door every time or whatever, and I just walked in. And my son, immediately the covers go up, and he's like, hey, wait, hey, you want to order a pizza or something? Like, immediately tries to pay.
Food. Pizza. He just rattled off the second best thing in his life.
Yeah.
Pizza.
A lot of things are changing. A lot of things are not. One thing that's not changed, people still worry about their appearance. I'll let you know that. Like, when you go out, I don't see people just like, I'm that way, but other people are being more respectful of others than me. Like, when I go out, I'm just disheveled, and this is locked away, self-quarantined me. But other people are worried about their appearance. And I noticed, like, one thing, people are worried about their hair. I'll tell you that much right now. If you are losing your hair, there's one thing that you should know. It doesn't mean that you have to lose your hair. In the early stages of losing your hair, there are companies to help you, like our friends at Keeps. Listen, 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35. Those are just the stats. The good news, with today's advancements in science, Keeps offers proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss and help keep the hair you have at half the cost of your local pharmacy. Look at Austin right now. Austin.
It goes way back.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Bruce Willis we were talking about.
Yeah. And it only seems to happen to people that have plenty of forehead like you. Like you.
Yeah.
You have more of it to show. So.
Oh. You're right. This is a very conservative forehead crowd. That's a fair shot to take.
I have a very short forehead.
Are you kidding me?
Mine goes back pretty far too.
Are you kidding?
But I'll tell you this.
Oh, we got a lot of forehead. We got a lot of forehead to go on here.
Since I started using Keeps, I have noticed that it's coming back a little bit. Like it stopped going backward. I have stopped.
And that's really
balding.
Is it what LeBron James used? Because whatever that is what everyone. I think that's just a spray can.
Yeah, LeBron is using some magic, some of that Hollywood magic. Right there. For the rest
LeBron's
of us,
LeBron's on Rust-Oleum.
You don't have to go broke to avoid going bald. Keeps offers generic versions of the only two FDA-approved hair loss products out there. Some of you may have tried them before, but probably never getting it at this price. Prevention is key. Keeps. Treatments really work. They're up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. The sooner you start Keeps, the more hair you'll save. So act fast. Many men even experience hair regrowth with Keeps treatments. I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping that I hit the segment of the population that experiences regrowth. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. For a limited time, you can get your first month for free. That's one hell of a deal for getting to keep your hair. We have a deal for you. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to Keeps, KEEPS.com/funtown to receive your first month of treatment for free. Yeah, that's what I said. It's true. You get your first month of treatment for free. Just go to Keeps.com/funtown, KEEPS.com/funtown. That's a hell of a deal. That's what you get for listening to the show. You don't only get a laugh and have fun in Funtown.
You get a deal.
Yeah, you get a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
Only for our listeners, too.
Are you guys, does losing your hair bother you? Is that something that you worry about?
I don't at this stage in the game. If I was right about Austin's age, I think you get to where you care less about that kind of stuff, you know, obviously.
Mm-hmm. I don't care.
At 48.
My hairline, like Austin's at 17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I haven't showered in 3 days. The less hair I have, the better for my routine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'd be happy if I didn't have any. If I didn't have like the horseshoe that I have to shave, I would be ecstatic.
If it would just naturally just go like your butt.
Yeah.
Just hairless.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Jeff, what's it like to be just incredibly thick-haired?
Fucking annoying. I hate it.
Is it really? Is it really hard?
Yeah. I hate it.
Got to be so hard.
You'll see Jeff one day cut his hair. He has short, like, accountant
style hair. I just got it cut yesterday.
And then, like, 2 weeks later.
It's just huge.
Yeah, he's like Lil Dicky in 2 days.
No, I definitely. I just cut off the Lil Dicky, and now I'm back to the straight. I don't know what's happening here. Got like a little wave. I got like a little surfing wave going down the middle there.
That's nice.
I
like
it's pretty dope.
It's the reverse.
I'm a lucky son of a bitch.
You are.
What about beards? How quick do you guys grow your beard back after shaving it?
Immediately.
Yeah, Jeff, I imagine, is really quick. Mine's pretty quick, I would say. Mine will get pretty thick pretty quickly. The problem with mine is the longer I let it go, the more gray shows through. So I got to keep it on moderate length. Like it hides itself pretty well at about the stage it's at right now. If I go like another month or two without going, it's twice as gray is what you see it right now. So
yeah, Jeff's got good gray going, and it's like in a very nice pattern in what you got.
He does.
If that's I work it right, I can get it going. Oh, when I was in last year down in Punta Cana, I went on an all expense paid by someone else trip and went to Punta Cana, and I'm in the pool, and of course there's some douchey guy next to me with his wife, and he's like eyeing me like, I'm like, ah, God, even all the way down in Punta Cana, people still douchebags to me. And finally he goes, are you a Vikings fan? And I went, well, I'm from like Indianapolis, so if I had to pick a team, I'd probably pick the Colts. And he goes, no, man, the show, the Vikings. And I go, no. And he goes, oh, well, you look like one. Oh, okay.
What a compliment.
All right. Good. Nice meeting you, fuckhead. I'm going to go get another pina colada. It was just so weird. Are you a Vikings fan? I'm like, no, I like the Colts. No, you dumbass. The show. And it's like, oh, yeah. Why would I think you were talking sports to me, you
bustlehead? Like, yeah. Dude, of course, so I should assume that you're referring to something on History Channel. I mean, yeah, that's what people do on
sports, nerd.
Yeah. Yeah. I watch some of that show, but I call it Sons of Anarchy on Boats. It's like almost good, like basic cable drama, but like a little too made for that guy to watch.
Yeah.
I've never seen one episode. I have no idea what he was talking about. I could have sworn he was talking sports to me, though.
It wasn't Duck Dynasty. That's what surprises me. Is that not on the air anymore?
I like Vikings, and there is a parody on Netflix, and it's funny as fuck, man.
What is Northmen?
Northmen. Yeah, like the one girl, the one woman, this guy's wife, like the leader guy is pretty effeminate, like, and he's more artsy fartsy, like he's into theater and stuff like that, which is weird, out of place for that era. But he's not really into battle and shit, but his wife is hardcore. So she wants to go out on all the raids and stuff. And she comes back and she has like a necklace of dicks. So after she pillages and sexually assaults her victims, she cuts the dicks off and wears them on her necklace. And he's like, you know, you don't have to do the raping. Like that's right. She goes, yes, we're on a rape and pillage. I have to do the raping.
I love it already. I'm gonna watch it now.
It's really good. So Isaac, with the lockdown, with the school system, are all people like right now they're just kind of on paid leave?
Yeah, the last I heard, the state was allowing up to 20 days where they were just gonna, the school districts could pay everybody as it was. But now they've extended it past that a little bit. But I don't know if people are still, I'm sure like teachers are going to get paid their salary.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know about hourly employees and bus drivers and janitors and
lunch all that. Ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're still working actually. The IPS school system is like still, they're shipping food over the city still.
That's great.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So all my buddies,
yeah, like two meals a day.
They're all cops and they have to keep going into work. And like my one buddy had a funny tweet the other day and he was like, you know, if you guys will stop murdering each other, I can enjoy the self-quarantine myself. Like is his particular job, he only has to come out if people are murdering each other and he has not been able to stay home yet. He's like, dude, can we just stop murdering during the pandemic? Like, but people.
No, that's prime murder time.
It's prime murder season right now, I guess. Yeah. So,
well, on a positive note, in China, now that they came out of quarantine, they have had more divorces filed than any other time.
I bet.
Well, people, husband and wives are really having to get to know each other now. You know, it's easy to be married when you just see each other for 2 hours a night before you go to bed.
Yeah, now you got a few good zombie years in there. And then this
I'll tell you, now that I have the kids and the girlfriend home 24/7, here's a graph of my porn watching since the quarantine has started.
Going down.
It is non-existent. Like, it's impossible. Oh, like, there's always someone home, always.
It looked like Blockbuster video stock like 10 years ago. I just threw a tantrum earlier because I was all proud of myself today because I went through my Hulu and upgraded it to include HBO and Showtime. So we have more things to watch. And it was easy when I signed up for it. It was easy to spend the money and sign up for it. But now every time we try to watch HBO or Showtime, it tells us that we have not added HBO and Showtime to our Hulu subscription. And I'm quarantined. I fucking spent the fucking money at 2 o'clock today and it's not showing up. So I don't know what's going on. If somebody is being quarantined that works for Hulu right now, that's in charge of adding HBO and Showtime to people's accounts who pay for it.
There's a guy that does each one manually.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Now, are you the type, will you call?
Oh, yeah. But as soon as we're done with this, I'm going to call. I'm going to be my usual asshole self. Yeah. I'll have a long conversation.
Make a phone call about a problem.
Just for the record, I would have called by 2:15.
Yeah, I would have too.
Had it not been on by 2:15, I would have been on the phone.
Yeah,
I just bought this 15 minutes ago. Why ain't it working?
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be a happy conversation.
I would be on hold still right now if that's what it took as well. You cannot get rid of me. I will wait it out. And then I will say, okay, so you probably can't make any decisions. And I think we both understand that. So why don't we skip the part where I tell you the problem and you go get your supervisor because I'm going to be here regardless.
Oh my God. I'd put you on hold for 4 hours.
I'll be there.
I'll do that.
But I'm so pissed right now.
I think you're doing all right.
Well, I turned up. I shut down my cable package because I don't have to really watch sports religiously anymore, and that was the only reason for having regular cable. So I'm like, well, let's get rid of that and save like $110 a month. So in doing so now, but I'm like, oh yeah, but I forgot about HBO and Showtime. I like, Westworld's coming back. I got to be ready for Westworld.
Is this all because of Westworld?
Yeah, it's because of Westworld.
You want to see robots fucking, and now you're in this mess.
Yeah. What the fuck? Your garage is pretty cool looking, Oske.
Dude, my garage is dirty as fuck. But
no, you should see my garage. Your garage is big, man. Mine's full of boxes right now. Everything in this studio, every box that I have purchased since I went independent is in that garage right now. The box to everything I've bought in the last 2 months is in that garage, just laying on the floor, and it's piled like almost to the ceiling. So I'm like,
are you one box in the trash, four boxes in the trash each week? It gets picked up, then you put another couple in.
Well, I have a burn pit. So I'm constantly telling myself, I'll just burn some boxes today. And I just never do it. So they just keep growing. The pile keeps growing. But one day, it's going to be a hell of a fire out here. So I'm going to burn like 200 boxes. Just cover my neighbors in ashes.
Burn down four houses.
Yeah.
It smells terrible, too. It's black smoke. Like, it's terrible.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Have you guys been talking to many of our comedian friends?
Yeah, I've talked to a few. They seem to be okay. Some of them sound sad. Some of the Facebook posts are getting a little concerning, but I think they'll make it.
I know. It's funny because you'll see a guy put or a girl put something like really happy and funny up, and then like 2 hours later, like you're like, I should check on that person. You know what I mean? Like, it's really dark.
Yeah, the thing with the comics that's bothering me is that everybody's freaking out because they can't do shows, right? I think we're all probably, that affects us. But I was more like, I can't do these shows I had booked and make money and entertain people. It seems like most people just miss the open mic and they're doing like live streams. Who wants to watch a live stream of an open mic? That sounds like the worst thing in the world to me.
I don't want to watch one in person, on the computer, on my phone, any time ever. I don't even like watching me at open mics afterward. Like, there's nothing enjoyable about. Yeah, it seems like the people who are doing the most live streaming are the people who don't make their living from comedy anyway.
Yeah.
But they, why don't you leave that for someone who needs to make some money? But
the fuck? Yeah, because there are good options out there. If you want to watch, like, people are dropping, like, all their albums and their specials, and, like, there's all this you could watch. Mm-hmm. I don't need to watch. Like, I'll watch a showcase. If I see five good comics are doing, like, a stream and they're going to switch off, I'll watch that.
The other day, Mike Birbiglia and Roy Wood Jr., they did like an hour Instagram live to raise money for the people, servers at the Comedy Attic.
Yeah.
And I believe the Stardome in Alabama to raise money for the servers, which I thought that was fucking awesome.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's a good
and they were just going through and reading jokes out of their book that they had never done before. But they kind of are on that level where people want to see that shit.
Yeah.
Nobody's
trying to figure out comedy. Man.
Yeah, like 1 year in guy, nobody's really gives a shit what jokes you haven't done yet from your notebook. I'm sorry. We love you, but fucking write some more jokes.
I mean, like, I would like to see my favorite band riff, and like, I would watch them in a jam session. Like, but I'm not going to watch like the guy that lives next door to me and his friends in their garage.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it's like, yeah, your band is out some money, but let's be honest, you were going to make $200 in the next 3 months. Like, that wasn't going to make or break you as a human being. Like,
yeah, I know.
I was embarrassed when I like totaled up how little money I actually lost. Because of this, I had a more grandiose idea of what I was doing, and when I totaled it, I was like, "Oh, well, okay.
Oh,
I guess I can go on vacations more often."
Oh, wow. Yeah, I like my the people I feel bad for are like that one.
Yep.
Yeah, and you do, but like you know, some of us have day jobs that you know. If show doesn't happen for a year, the bills are still going to be pretty good off.
I'm taking quite a hit.
Who I care about. I am more worried about.
Luckily, my lady still employed, so she may have to pick up some slack here in a couple months, depending on where we're at. I'll just call her out to other hospitals at some point. Like,
oh, my lady's out of a job. My woman's out of a job, but I have kids out of school for probably the next 7 months. So I need someone home with them anyway. So
yeah,
what's the trade-off that you pay like $10,000 a month in childcare? I mean, Jesus Christ. It's so interesting. Like I am hearing from people I haven't heard from in 20 years on social media now because everybody's so bored. The boredom is a phenomenon in itself. Like it's
Some of those connections need to stay dead. That's going to kill more people than the virus. Some of those people reconnecting and remembering why they hate people. Oh, man.
I've even seen some of my friends who aren't on social media create accounts now just to reach out to people, which I think is pretty funny.
Like, well, yeah.
Social media is pretty cool now, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Sitting at home doing nothing. And then I was up until like 6 a.m. editing 1041 podcast. And I get to bed about 6:30, probably go to sleep by 7 a.m. And I am dead asleep. I'm like coma asleep. I wake up about 1 and have all these messages on my phone. So my fiance's mom's boyfriend had come by. Now the dogs know him. So I guess they didn't make a peep, right? They love him. So he was able to walk right in. And he left 4 jars of moonshine on my Oh my kitchen island. He's like, I left you a little something. I figured you were asleep and it won't bother you, but I brought you something. So I left it on the counter, 4 jars of moonshine. So now it's probably, this may not be a good time for me to drink moonshine. I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts running through my head right now that need to stay in here probably.
Yeah. And, you got to start a journal.
Yeah. Moonshine, the world's going to hear him.
Don't want to go blind before the apocalypse.
That's the least of my problems. I think my Twitter feed is what doesn't need me to be on moonshine. Like,
I tried to hold off drinking as long as I could into the quarantine because I figured once I started, it would be bad. But I've developed like some sort of allergy to alcohol or something recently. I had 2 vodkas and flavored waters the other night. And I got a headache in the middle of my second drink and had to stop and had a headache the entire next day.
Really? Yeah.
That's from mixing vodka with flavored water, you fucking weirdo.
I didn't want to, well, it was really late at night. I didn't want to drink caffeine. I didn't have anything else.
What you want to do is you want to get some White Claw. You get your vodka and then you mix your 100 calorie White Claw with your vodka. Yeah. And it's the same drink, only more alcoholic.
Do you feel like the White Claw... The White Claw already having alcohol sort of welcomes the vodka in easier. Is that
it? Does it opens it up? It gets the party started
in the glass. That's the same way with like margarita mix, right? So like I like the people that are like, oh no, you have to put any tequila in this. It already has tequila in it. That's cute. Yeah, no, you only drink it at the store approved at the government. Of tequila, but
that's nice. Like I'm from Shelbyville. More. I'm gonna be putting some more tequila in this. Putting a little bit more tequila in this.
Austin, your basement to your
I'm in my basement. I'm in my real squirrely basement down here.
Is it a one room basement or what does it go?
No, this is just one room in the basement.
So your basement, it's a full basement, it's not a partial.
Yeah. It's a pool.
You have a nicer TV in your basement than I do in my living room.
Look at that. He's got like,
I know.
It's TV.
Yep.
He's like, yeah, of
That's
course.
That's all I'm going to say about that. This is a squirrely room I'm in. Uh-huh. And this is just day one. Oh, no. I showed my supplies. Everyone better hide this. See him. But I'm in my basement and we're fine.
I want a basement so bad because after, Asuka and I got this thing started, I was like, fuck, why didn't I buy a house with a basement? The whole basement could be the base of operation. You could have offices, you could have studio, all that stuff. It'd be so easy with a fucking basement instead of bedroom number 4. It's just one room. It would solve everything. But
I think bedroom number 4 is nice. Like, I think it's very classy. I don't go underground to work.
It's all right. We had a full basement.
What's an up? No, you're in bedroom number 4.
Yeah.
My last house, everything that I, when I did work, was in the basement, and I had a harder time getting motivated to go down there to do it for sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I think we have a natural inclination not to get in a hole. Natural drive not to find yourself at all.
Dude, I just watched Narcos Mexico. I've been watching that. I'm catching up because I love the other Narcos. And then what they did with Narcos Mexico was like, hey, we haven't been utilizing the subtitles enough. So if we come out with a new series that's 90% subtitles and 10% people speaking English? And that's what they did. But it has El Chapo in it and kind of his story of how he came to be. He's intertwined there. And him coming up with the tunnel idea to get the drugs underground into the United States.
Wait, he thought of that?
Yeah. It was his, according to Narcos.
It took that long for these guys to think of a tunnel?
I know, right? It was him staring at a fence with another guy at like a border fence. And he was like, what if we go underneath? Like, oh. They're flying the sky. They're patrolling the land. We go underneath. There's nobody. And like, fuck it. It took that long to somebody to say that. Wow. Like Pablo Escobar never at one time thought, oh, we should go underground.
Maybe it was claustrophobic.
Yep. Don't get in a hole. Not getting in a hole.
Probably for good reasons. It turns out when you take your first endeavor into tunneling, a lot of people die. Like, you're not really good at it at first. So there's a lot of cave-ins. But they're figuring it out so far, as far as I've gotten into my reading.
I've never tunneled, but I've
facial hair on Narcos. I feel like Jeff and I really cover most of the facial hair on Narcos.
You especially with your mustache, because they're still like in the 80s, I think, right now.
Yeah.
And early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. So, yeah, you've got the mustache. What made you go mustache? Were you doing a character for the author?
Yeah, usually as author starts coming up, I will do a mustache in case I'm going to do a certain character. But now I've had it. It's helped with the pandemic. I feel like people are very straightforward and come to the chase with me. And I'm all info during the pandemic, Todd.
Hey, I'm getting better, dude. I had wipes with me at the grocery store, the approved alcohol wipes. So I wiped down my cart handle before, after, all that stuff. But in case you don't come with your own supplies, there is now a lady at the door at the Kroger as soon as you come in offering to sanitize your cart for you before you begin shopping.
Had forehead thermometers and checked everyone's temperature. That would make me feel fucking safer.
My lady showed me a diagram today of the swab, like the
it goes up in your ass.
Dude. Oh,
all the way over to your head,
4 inches back in your through your nose.
Yeah.
Why are they telling people? Well, no one will go.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not. Nope. Fuck that.
I just assume they took some blood and then they spun it and then they analyzed it and they told
they
you
should be, they should be lying. They should be saying it's good. That's what I'm saying.
Is our science not better than that nowadays?
You ever watch like fights, boxing or MMA, and they like are doing their nose in between rounds and it's like 6 inches up into their nostril?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But those guys, they don't give a shit.
They're getting punched in their face for 5 minutes right before that. So,
what's the worst like medical procedure you each have had?
I haven't had anything too bad.
I had my nose fixed. It's I've had it broken several times, but the worst one, it got crunched by a car door during the police academy. Like, we were teaching recruits how to fight inside their front seat with bad guys, like how to protect their gun. And then the procedure is to take your forehead and put it into the side temple of the bad guy and push him against the B post of the car and then unlatch your door, donkey kick it open, and then suck out and then pull your weapon. So there was a little guy cop and then the big bad guy in the front seat. And the little guy was doing really good, but he wasn't quite being able to get back to the door. So I lean in to yell instructions, and I guess he at one point had already unlatched the door and I didn't see that. So it was ready to go. He just kicked it and like the post of the window crushes my nose like so hard that it, like the door went back and shut and flatters my nose.
And, you got like a bounce like, back.
All the recruits are horrified. I see them and I'm just, I don't feel any pain. And I'm like, that's not good when you don't feel pain. You know, I just felt the thud. And I'm like, I probably have no teeth. They've shattered every bone in my face. I'm just like the elephant man right now. And I can hear the blood just hitting the floor. So they take me somewhere and stop the bleeding. And I look, and it's not too bad. I mean, my nose is all crooked, but I'm like, oh, it's not so bad. So later on, I have to get surgery to get my nose like straightened so I can breathe somewhat through it. And this is years and years and years later. So I do it. And I come to after surgery and I'm like, oh, this wasn't bad at all. You know, my nose is straight now. I feel good. And they give me medicine to take when you go home. So my dad's driving me home from the surgery and he's like, you want me to stop and get your prescription filled? And I was like, no, let's wait. Let's go home and we'll just get it in Shelbyville, the hometown CVS. oh, we get like 10 minutes away from the hospital. And I was like, we got to stop. Like every all of you things that came in the hospital wore off. And it felt like somebody was driving their fist from inside my sinuses, trying to punch out through my face. And I was like, oh, my God. And it was the worst recovery. I've had a lot of surgeries, but it was like, it was one of those as soon as your medicine starts to wear off. And I'm not a big pain medicine person. It would just boom, boom. I mean, just pulsate through your face, like the worst pain imaginable for like 2 weeks.
Like, did you have the gauze like all the way up in, through your sinuses? In there,
yeah. It's not as bad. Like you used to, they would, you know, you had the stories of just people pulling it out for like 10 minutes, so much gauze in your nose. There's way less packing now.
Oh, that's terrible.
It's still not great. Yeah.
I've heard that it's awful. Like I could probably use that procedure, but I'll just deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't recommend doing it unless you absolutely cannot breathe. Like I was to the point where I couldn't sleep very well because, you know, I couldn't breathe through my nose.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I had to, but outside of that, so you guys know big surgeries or anything, huh?
I've had an ACL replaced, which was pretty brutal. That hurt. And then, I snapped. Like,
how did you tear your ACL?
Playing lacrosse in high school.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Playing indoor.
You're playing indoor.
Bullshit hit. I mean, I'm over it. Whatever, but it was a bullshit hit. It's fine.
And what did you do? You snapped your forearm?
Yeah. No, oh no. This was the other thing I did was my forearm here. Like I snapped both the bones, and it was like I had like another elbow kind of going off that way. Yeah, that was pretty brutal. They had to knock me out to set that. I thought I was going to get the pins and stuff, you know, where they put all that stuff in, but they didn't do that. But I had a cast on my arm for like 20 weeks.
20 weeks?
Yeah, and then the ACL is brutal because they get you up moving right away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's terrible. I mean, I was walking down the hall like 4 hours after they did it. It was pretty bad.
What? How did you break your arm that badly?
Skateboarding.
Oh, Jesus.
Jumping down some stairs like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always a great move. Nothing could go wrong now. Not even
very big stairs either. So I think it was four. But
being a pussy has saved me so much pain.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. When you're not adventurous, like, oh, you don't appreciate how people who took care of them, their bodies, how happy they are as they get older. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I would get up and have to peel this arm like off of my chest in the morning when I wake up because my shoulder locks up because it's been operated on, you know, like I'm like, God damn it. I wasn't even that great of a wrestler. Why did I do that?
I'm lucky that I didn't have more injuries. Like I've got a neck that's pretty jacked up at this point, but, like I got ran over by a truck when I was a teenager.
What?
Yeah.
Run over by a truck.
It was only like the back of the truck.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, I was sitting on the bed of a truck and my buddy was dropping me off to get on the school bus and I jumped off, but he was still going. And by the time I landed, like it just kind of sucked my leg underneath the tire. And so it spit me out and I got up and I walked onto the school bus and everyone was horrified. And all I had is I had road rash on my shoulder and I had a tire mark that went underneath my armpit and across my face. Like a cartoon. And I think that probably did a number on my neck.
Yeah, probably. But when that's happening, you have to assume that you're dying. When a truck's running over you and the tire goes across your face.
It was so fast. It like just spit me out and I rolled up to my feet and then like walked like nothing had happened.
Oh, my God. Dude, I remember we had a tradition where on last day of school, we would go to the park there near our school and we'd have a giant water balloon fight. And we had my buddy's giant four-wheel drive truck, right? So we were just killing everybody because we had like eight of us in the back and we had two like those beer keg coolers, the blue ones, you know, filled with water balloons. So we're just driving by and just killing people with these balloons. And then at one point we're stopped and we're kind of reloading or whatever. And a girl was driving the truck at the time. And one of our friends come running up with a water balloon to hit her through the window. And she just guns it So we all just, and me and one other guy were the only ones that hit the tailgate and stayed in. Everybody else went flying out, and you see them like roll, hit the concrete and roll, and they jump up, and two of my friends were like, woo, you know, and they're like, woo, and then my one buddy had his collarbone was sticking way the fuck out. And then we were like, Kevin, don't move, don't move, don't move, don't move. And he's like, what? And he looks down and he's like, oh my God, and start freaking out.
My thing was, I had to have two different hernia surgeries in my life. And those were, the first one, I was young.
You're a mover for a living? How did you get?
Because I was a little dude and I was real rowdy. So I was always doing dumb shit and like just pushing myself beyond my physical means. And the first one, I was 19 or so, 19, 20, and I bounced back from it like it was nothing. The second one, I was in my late 20s, and the recovery was like a lot longer, and the scar like area still bothers me.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you have the hernia that like popped out and looked all weird?
Yeah. The first one, like it was like, by the time I got taken care of, it was probably about like that big. And I would hold it in, like literally my fingers, like push it inside and then carry shit around at work. And like, yeah, it was nasty.
That I've always had a phobia of getting a hernia.
Oh man. Then I'll tell you this story. I worked with a guy in a kitchen who had, I knew he had hernias, and they're the ones that are like up on your lower stomach, like not hernias. Like down in your nuts. Yeah. So on either side, and I had had them. And so like, we had talked about it a little bit. One day I hear him scream like he's been murdered, and I run in the back and he's on the floor. He's like writhing in pain, just bawling his eyes out. They had met, they connected in the middle. So his, the only thing keeping his intestines in his body was his skin and fat. And so I rolled up an apron and tied it around his abdomen and pulled it as tight as I could. And then we got him on his feet and we got him in a car and sent him to the hospital.
What the fuck?
So he had a hernia that was like this long across his lower stomach.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Just his insides trying to get out. Yeah. I saw a dude with a hernia one time, and ever since then I've kind of had a phobia of getting one. I'm like, that's the grossest shit I've ever seen.
They are gross. And you get them in dumb ways. The first one I got by, I worked at a pizza place and I picked up a big ball of dough by myself. The second one,
you're like the strong man in those competitions with the
African stone. Yeah. The second one, I just had a really bad cough for a long time. And it eventually, like, I coughed too hard and it ripped my stomach open.
Yeah.
Instead of one of those posture correctors, I think you need one of those. The belt for the weightlifting.
Yeah.
The mover belt all the time.
Yeah.
I'd go full Kim Kardashian girdle at this point.
Oh, it's been a good decade since I've had one.
So you saw a man almost split in half while working at a restaurant job, pretty much. Wow.
I have a listener question here. We have one.
Ooh.
Through.
Here, I'll do a little theme song. It's time for listener questions with Todd. How's that?
That's perfect. That's perfect. All right, here it is.
Made that up on the spot.
This comes from Doug Dunahy. If they brought back Celebrity Deathmatch, who would you want to fight against each other and who wins?
How did they pick their people? Was there like some common theme between the two people?
I think they started with people that that might have real feuds, and then they just started making fictitious storylines. But it's been a long time since I've seen it. But I would like to see Steven Seagal have to fight someone who's like has legitimate martial arts background now that does movies. So maybe like Statham. It makes Seagal fight Statham, even though there's a big size differential. I would like to see someone with real skill just pick apart Steven Seagal and embarrass his giant fat ass. The fact that he can't.
I feel like that's not meant to happen. Yeah. I feel like that's just two versions of the same guy, and that the time police are going to show up and tell us to stop doing this.
Wasn't there a story from the 80s about Judo Gene LaBelle kicking Steven Seagal's ass?
He put him out in like a sleeper hold.
Yeah.
Steven Seagal claimed, there's a video of it Joe Rogan put out where he claimed that he could just tighten his neck muscles and you couldn't choke him out. And the dude in like 2 seconds clearly puts him on matches.
There was a few years ago, there was something presented where Wesley Snipes was offering to fight Joe Rogan. That would have been neat.
It would have been neat, but I can tell you this. Now, granted, I'm a Joe Rogan, one of his biggest fans, but I don't think anybody wants to fight that dude. Like, have you seen him kick that heavy bag when he's showing George St. Pierre how to do that little spinning back kick thing? Like, George St. Pierre was one of one of the best, at least at leg kicks in the UFC. Mm-hmm. And he is putting George St. Pierre to shame kicking this bag. I mean, he's folding this heavy bag in half as his leg hits it, you know, from a spinning kick. And I'm like, and as good as he is at jiu-jitsu and stuff, I don't know if anybody wants to fuck with that dude. Have you seen him in person?
No.
He's all meat.
Yo, remember, were you there when he came to Morty's that time, Austin?
Yeah, I saw him. He's all meat. Like, he's a meatball for sure. Like, he's a fit guy.
Took a picture with him and my arm around him. And, you know, he's short, obviously, but chest to back.
Yeah.
Dude, there's like 4 feet there between his pec muscle and his shoulder blade. Like, he's that big. He's like a mountain gorilla. And his fingers are like brats. They're like that big around, dude. I mean, he just looks like, you know, he can just – there's no jar he can't open. He's just – the toughest pickle jar, whatever. He just, no problem.
Don't let him near your girlfriend. He's opening jars with his big, broad-sized fingers.
I listened to an episode of his podcast once where Dice was on, and the whole time Dice keeps talking about the two of them, like how they're like both tough guys, and how, you know, and the whole time I'm thinking, Joe has to be biting his tongue right now to let Andrew Dice Clay have his pride.
I mean, that's two different situations there, Fort Fairlane.
I say I'm a Dice fan overall. I mean, I understand what he is, but have you ever seen his first HBO special where I think it's in Philadelphia and it's like a small like restaurant kind of scenario, and his jacket's pleather.
Oh,
and
really?
The Dice thing is only like a portion of what he does. He doesn't celebrity impressions and all this other stuff, but it was that character is what took off. And so that's, you know, just where he went.
Yeah. I did know like his early stuff. He was getting popular because he was really good at impressions and shit like that. Like, he had a really good Travolta for the time and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then I don't hate on anybody, Carrot Top, anybody. If you can fucking entertain people and get that many people behind you and get rich doing it, have at it.
Like, just for the record, Carrot Top is way more successful than Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh yeah, for sure.
By like 1,000,000%.
1,000,000%.
Yeah.
Like, his shit stood the test of time. Like
he still has a show when Vegas starts back up. Dice does not. Mm-hmm.
You're right. Yeah.
But somehow Andrew Dice Clay became a good fucking actor. Like, he's, you know, it's all gonna be character roles, but he's good at him. Like, he played that girl's dad, Lady Gaga's dad. He was really good.
What I'd always heard is that that's why he got into stand-up, and he thought that by playing this Dice character, people would realize he was an actor and that he was good and he would get roles. He didn't expect that he was going to only be wanted for that character.
And he got trapped by the money, probably.
Yeah, and then now his persona is weird because you can't help but it go to your head when you're that successful at that young of an age for what he's doing. So now there's like a weird blur between the character and who he really is. And he knows that that's what people want. Did any of you guys see his Showtime show? He had 2 seasons.
Oh my God. I loved it.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Dice fan, just for the record. Grew up on him. Ford Fairlane. I saw it the day it came out in theater.
Yeah.
Like, I fucking loved me some Andrew goddamn Dice Clay.
Dude, I can remember we would have parties surrounding just listening to Andrew Dice Clay when I was in high school.
Yeah.
We would have parties and play his shit in the garage, and it was the biggest thing ever. Because, of course, your parents wouldn't let you listen to it at home. Right.
Oh, God,
and go throw a party and play it over somebody's, you know, cassette player. But yeah, no, I'm a fan too. I'm a fan too. And I didn't mean to belittle his comedy. Like, it's just, It's interesting that that's what took off for him. But I love his acting. Ford Fairlane, that movie I thought was genius. I love the simplicity of the parody that he created with that character. I just like to now, as hard as we all work at comedy, would it kind of piss you off? It'd be interesting to talk to him and see how pissed off he is that that's the one thing he did that got him so rich. He probably went to an open mic one day, just fucking around, had some shots and started doing that. And it fucking blew up and people wouldn't let him stop doing it. And the next thing you know, bam, I'm a superstar.
It's definitely one of those cases where he was sold the persona more than any other joke. People bought that. It was kind of like a Pauly Shore was that way as well, where people liked the character and the idea of it more than any particular thing that they're saying.
Well, can you imagine, Oskay, if like, and I loved your open mic Jesus, but like as hard as you worked and everything else, what if open mic Jesus took off and some fucking label came at you and was like, dude, from now on, you're not Jeff Oskay, you're open mic Jesus. And you had to do that and make open mic Jesus movies. You would do it, of course, because you'd be filthy rich. But
oh my God, in a heartbeat, I would sell out so quick. So quick.
But that's kind of, I'm guessing that's kind of what happened to him, you know?
Dude, his show, there's a scene where he goes down to Tampa to do the Tampa Improv, I believe it is. And his manager, and it's reality TV, so I don't believe shit anymore. Right. But his manager has put him and the manager up in the same room at like the local motel, like not even a hotel, like a motel. And they're walking to the gig and they run into somebody and they're like, oh, what are you doing down here, Dice? He's like, oh, I'm headlining, you know, the Improv this weekend. He goes, no, I'm headlining this weekend. And so he like shows up at the Improv and they're like, yeah, Dice, we didn't know you were coming, but if you want to do a guest set, you're more than welcome to like do a guest set. Oh, and he's talking to his manager, what the fuck do you do? I thought you fucking booked this shit and all that fucking shit. And he's like, oh, I must have messed up. And like, it just shows him walking back to his motel room with his head down. You're just like, oh, like he got offered a guest set. Like that was his. Oh, we're sorry. We screwed up your booking. You can do 5 minutes before fucking Ryan Reynolds or whoever the fuck was headlining that weekend.
I bet he still can get paid really well for a weekend.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. He could probably right now get booked for $25,000 or $30,000 for a weekend. I mean, he's going to sell the tickets. So. Yeah.
I follow his Instagram. It's all right. It's always like a photo of him and then a paragraph of him talking about how people don't think he's great, but he is.
Yeah.
Have you seen the coronavirus song that is out by the four black comedians dancing around spraying Lysol in the air?
Yeah.
No. Oh, and yo, bitch, you got that coronavirus. Step off. You got that coronavirus. It's the worst, best thing you will see this week. It is. So, but they're like doing the Crip walk, but they got cans of Lysol like spraying it in the air around them.
Bandanas up on their face. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good.
When I was at the grocery, there was a dude like this. He had his sweatshirt pulled up over his face like this the whole time. And I watched him. I was in there for probably an hour. He was in there the whole time and never did his sweatshirt leave the bridge of his nose.
Does that help?
No, not at all. I'm like, dude, you're doing nothing right now. Like, what's going on? It's not like a medical mask that has, you know, carbon or whatever else is in there to filter shit out. You're just putting your shirt up over your mouth. And there was only insane. Like 10 people in there.
That's insane. Like I've been going to the grocery store. I've gone to the hardware store. I had a dishwasher delivered. I have a contractor's coming to my house tomorrow. Like I'm washing my hands.
You're the problem.
Yeah. I'm washing my hands and I'm staying away from people, you know, like I don't, but I'm not like, show's got to go on, you know?
Today was the first day I've been out of the house for a while. And I washed the fuck out of my hands. I'm usually not a big hand washer. So it takes getting used to, but.
Are you still open, Austin? Going into work?
Yeah, we're going to be doing it basically until the government tells us not to. So, I don't know. I figure it's like a week before we're all just told to stay inside for at least a week.
I'm going to give it 2 days.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That's my vote.
Yeah, I can see that.
And you have to carry around that little piece of paper that the government approves to your employer if the cops stop you.
I'm one of them. I get a piece of paper.
Nice. Look at you.
Go in to work every day.
It's a matter of time for people start forging those too, I figure. And it's like,
oh yeah.
Marnie was like, well, why would somebody want to do that? Where are they going? I'm like, people will be forging these just to be forging them and just driving around for no purpose. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just how it works. Yeah. And you know what's funny is like, you know, as a former cop, I can tell you, like, the cops won't know. They won't know what they're looking at.
Like, they're going to be a big meeting where they show everybody these little pieces of paper.
One time, yeah. And you're just, you know, they're all going to look the same. You're not going to know one from the other. It's like when I used to stop semi tractor trailers, it's like, I didn't know what those fucking log books were supposed to look like. I would stare at it and I'd be like, all right, looks good. Yeah. I had no idea what I was looking at. You know? We had a 1-day class on it. Yeah, I know, but I wasn't paying attention. Well, this has been fun. Thanks for hanging out, guys. We got to get Jeff to do radio early in the morning. As always, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't done so and you like it on Apple Podcasts, very important to rate us and write a review and share the podcast with your friends. We're still growing. Other than that, this will be out Wednesday, so expect another one on Friday. Thanks for hanging out, Isaac. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
We're out.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.